This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Enterprise with me, Angeline Tay. So later on, at 1:30, we have Her Vantage with Winnie-san from Tweedlewink, and Frida Liu would be interviewing her. But first up, at 10 o'clock right now, we have Pascal Young. He's the founder of Cafe Cafe with us, and, you know, Table for Two, or as they call it, Table pour Deux, and we try not to go into French language. You know, perhaps you've conjured an image of clinking glasses under Eiffel Tower with the steps of Paris beneath your feet. But Café Café is a French dining experience in the heart of KL itself. What surprises me is that they've been around for like
15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. Yes. And, you know, just tell us why this French dining experience, you decided to set it up 15 years ago, where I think, you know, a lot of people are not used to French cuisine here in Malaysia.
Well, I took it as a challenge when I first started. I didn't foresee how long would it go on, you know.
Yeah. Tell us, what was it like then, you know, and how much has it changed throughout the years?
Okay, when I first started Cafe Cafe, the proper dining in Malaysia was quite dry. You don't get many fine dining in Malaysia about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started, and when I first started, it was like
4 or 5,
a good one, you know. And I wasn't considered, mine was really good at that time. Then people move externally, you know, the market segment we had like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they can afford to do something much more superior or much more luxury.
Okay.
So I still capture my segment, which is like, they spend like 150 to 200 per person nowadays. Yeah.
Okay, and still the same.
And still the same.
Do you find it more difficult back then to get people in?
You mean internally?
Yeah.
Working staff? Workforce?
I don't know, coming people to your restaurant and, you know, dine in your restaurant.
Oh, my restaurant, I think the growth is more organic. It takes time to grow from word of mouth. You know, I think I took 4 years to build the database.
Wow.
Yeah.
4 years.
4 years, yeah.
Okay. So, as in, how did you then educate people about the food that you serve? Like you said, you have time. Your menu is timeless. That a lot of dishes in there hasn't changed.
Hasn't changed at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, walk us through your menu. What are the timeless dishes, and how did you tell people that this is a special type of cuisine, and you're supposed to appreciate this way? Because people don't know, right?
Actually, when I first started, I didn't educate much. You know, things that I just let the menu stay there. You know, when they ask, why you don't change anything, this is a specialty, people like that one. And it's supposed to be, I can't like, for instance, foie gras, I can't take it off.
Mm.
You know, it has got to be there. For instance, escargot, I can't take it off for my menu because it's like popular and everybody wants it. When it comes to French cuisine, French cafe or restaurant, they want foie gras, they want beef cheek, you know. If I take that off, it's no meaning anymore, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Well, how would you explain French cuisine to our listeners right now?
Okay, French cuisine, because in the mindset of Malaysian people, French cuisine is expensive or luxury. Actually, it's not.
Oops, sorry. Okay.
In terms of French, you can have like affordable French cuisine to luxury.
Yeah.
You know, you can have ratatouille is an affordable thing. Crepe is like street food, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily must be foie gras, truffle. It's not necessary. It can be something, sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
It can be croque monsieur is French.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a quick bite thing, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
sandwich
and everybody
and
can
egg.
Afford it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so tell us what's in your menu. So you mentioned there's foie gras.
What is in my menu? In the timeless one.
Yes.
That I never changed from day one.
Yes.
My foie gras has been staying there forever. And the truffle prawn has been there for ages. And beef cheek, the wagyu cheek has been there forever. And the escargot has been there forever.
Okay, and Wagyu has been around as it was a thing.
Yeah,
since then.
The Wagyu chick, I stewed it in the fire for 4 to 5 hours. Yeah,
okay,
yeah. That has stayed there forever in my menu. I haven't changed that one. Yeah,
okay. And the interesting bit is that you're a MBA holder and you turned into a chef entrepreneur.
Yes.
So how did you decide to set up a restaurant, coming up with your own menu, you know, without prior experience?
Because like 15 years ago, when I first came back from the UK. And when I first came back here, I was old already, about 32. But I couldn't find a job anymore, so I have to set up my own restaurant. Then I started from there, you know, I experienced. I have to travel a lot, try food, and do my own try and test.
Okay, so what have you set it up at the Jalan Mahajarela?
Why?
Yeah. Or that was the cheapest place available?
Cheapest available nearby where I live. And you know what? When I first came back to this country, you know, in Europe, they didn't have something called happening area. You can see restaurants in everywhere, a corner or narrow street. But when I came back here, you know, I didn't know there's something called happening area. So I thought that would be a good spot. So I just rented it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like you thought it would be a neighborhood outlet where people would just come.
I thought that would be... I never thought of neighborhood. I thought it's going to be a destination outlet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it difficult?
For the first 4 years.
First 4 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Because okay. It's very organic, you know. It takes really long time to have a word of mouth. Unlike nowadays, because 15 years ago, there's no social media.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you put the word out? How did you tell people
so
that...
So that's why I say it's organic growth, but like it takes really long time to, like, you know, passing word of mouth.
Mm. Yeah. But compare it to today, where things move so quickly, people have social media, things go viral, right? So once you hit the right market, you get lines outside your restaurant. How do you feel the industry has changed? And if you were to do it again today, your business, how would you change your marketing strategies?
If I were to do it again, I think I would do it organic way too. Yeah.
Why?
Because I like the experience of the cycle where you start from slow and you want to see it grow from 0 to 2, 3, 4, 5. I wouldn't like to start my restaurant started with long queue.
Okay.
So if I start my restaurant with long queue, how am I going to maintain the long queue forever? Or even make the queue longer?
Yeah.
Yeah. If one day my restaurant has got no queue anymore, so I'll be in panic.
Okay. Yeah. So in the last 15 years, where do you see was the peak of your business?
The peak was 2010 and now.
And now? Is there a specific reason why now?
Yes. Okay, 2010, because like after 7, 8 years.
Okay.
So it went up peak because my growth was like from 0 to 10. Mm-hmm. Then 2011 drops.
Any reason why it dropped?
Yeah. The reason it dropped because in 2010, 11 onwards to 12, there were even more fine dining came out. Mm. There are more, more luxury, more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
New, and people want to have new experience.
Yeah.
And they are all more expensive. They are more like 600 per head,
okay.
700 per head, or even 1,000 per head. You know, which is good because our market, they can experience something new.
Yeah.
So then my market segment moved to that establishment.
But then if they would compare, they would find that yours is more value because per head is about 200 ringgit.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, talking about the food that you have, which is the timeless one, the foie gras, you have your beef cheek. The thing is...
Truffle prawns.
Yeah, okay, so where do you source for all these ingredients?
We can source it here, actually. It's not so difficult. Yeah.
No?
Yeah, we got an importer bring them in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then why... okay, because you are running this restaurant, you are the entrepreneur, but you've been doing this for the last 15 years. I just want to know, how did you motivate yourself? Because... 15 years and you don't change your menu, it's the same thing every day.
You change, but you don't change it drastically.
Okay.
You know, when you experiment something new, you stop them in. You know, you see something that doesn't move, you know, take them out, you know. Mm. So those who can, like, popular, you want them to be there forever.
Okay. Yeah. And also another thing is that you don't invest into social media?
I wouldn't object to social media unless otherwise you got somebody who can handle it really well.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can't, you know, you got no time to take a look at it, you know, it's no point.
But everyone is on it, though. Everyone is using social media to get people. Don't you feel that you're not on the bandwagon and trying to bring more people into your restaurants?
No, I don't, because I've told you, because it's strange for like cafe, you know, the things like, it's a word of mouth.
Okay.
And it's a magic, you know, sometimes.
Okay, now you are also the owner of Les Deux Garçons.
Les Deux Garçons.
Les Deux Garçons. That's you have now 3 outlets, right?
Yeah.
And we'll find out more about the operations for this and how is it different from Cafe. Right after this, in the studio we have Pascal Young. He's the founder of Cafe and Les Deux Garçons. This is Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Bluff free medium, BFM. 89.9.
And we're back on Enterprise with Pascal Yong. He's the founder of Cafe Cafe, you know, a fine dining French cuisine experience that has set up 15 years ago. So earlier we discussed a bit about how he managed to pull through in the last 15 years and they grew organically without investing into social media, which is pretty amazing if you think of today's day and age, right?
Magic.
You call it magic.
Magic.
We call it magic too. Now you also, 6 years ago, you set up a sort of pâtisserie.
Yeah, Les Deux Garçons.
Les Deux Garçons, and now you have three outlets. Tell us about that. You know, how did you decide to come up with this French dessert outlets, and how did you find the locations?
Oh, yeah. I think, talk about Les Deux Garçons. About 6 years ago, you know, what I saw was at that time, there was no proper fine French dessert. So I decided to start one. Then I started my main kitchen. So I took about a year to demo, to experiment the recipe. After 1 year, and I launched into, I had the first kiosk in Bangsa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the second kiosk is in Menara Shell. Then the third outlet now is in Faber Tower.
Okay.
That's the it's under Les Deux Garçons.
Okay. Yeah. And then when you set this up in mind, when you say there's no proper fine French dessert outlets, right? Is it to cater to more of like, you know, Malaysian customers, or is it more to expats?
I would say more to Malaysian customer when I first opened. Yeah. And those people, I think they well travel. They're more knowledgeable. They know what is real.
Real dessert.
Dessert is like, you know, they are willing to spend.
Yeah. Not the, you know, where they sell together with curry puffs. And
No. When these people, they come into my Les Deux Garçons in Bangsa, they won't question me. Then when they see the price, they won't question. They're okay with that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The thing is also, how do you find, what you call them pâtissier? So people who mix dessert. People are already struggling to look for chefs for restaurants. Now you're upping one up, you know, with a fine French dessert. So is it tough to look for people to work for you to make these desserts?
For this, not so difficult because nowadays they are culinary school. They got like a patisserie graduate. They long to get into a patisserie industry. So they would like to work for me. Actually, I've got a lot of inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you manage then all these three outlets?
How do I?
Yeah, so
I always have a hate for each department. Then I will empower them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're in charge of everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I always get a good head.
And these three heads has been with you since day one?
Some just came in like later on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you train them? How do you empower them to be in charge? Because I think that's what a lot of retailers or even just, you know,
F&B. You need to get the right person at the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to get somebody who's got interest in it. Yeah. Once you get the interest in it, things like you have to pay them well.
So it comes down to money.
Yes.
Okay. And then also, how do you train your staff when it comes to customer experience or customer service? You know, there's always this gap within Malaysian restaurants or just Malaysian retail. There's no proper customer service. How do you do that? How do you induce that into your staff and train them?
Okay. I, myself, I'm not a very good PR person. I'm not a very good customer person, you know. The thing is, my manager is a really good one. He can please anything. He can say yes to the customer at all time, you know. So I see him doing that, you know, okay, fine, you can do that, you know. You handle it, you know. Whatever you think is appropriate to give, give.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And and also tell us more about your staff, both Les Deux Garçons and Café Café. And you said you have staff that's worked with you for 11 years.
Yeah, let's start from Café Café. For Cafe Cafe, I'm quite lucky, you know, because my turnover of my employees is really low. People work for me from like 11 years. The maximum is 11 years. Some is like 6 years, 7 years. No, they didn't leave.
How do you do that? But you pay them well, basically.
No, the partially is paying them well. I think the other thing is like, for Cafe Cafe, it's more like a family, you know. So when I notice it's more like a family-orientated thing, you know. So you have to treat them like a family, you know. So it depends on what they want, you know.
And are they all local?
They're not local. They're all foreigners.
They're all foreigners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't get local to work for me in Cafe Cafe.
Why not?
I don't know why. I can't. Because it's very difficult. Yeah. And the turnover is really high to hire local in Cafe Cafe. Yeah.
And do you see a difference between the staff you hire in Cafe Cafe and Les Deux Garçons?
Equally good, because I think those who work for me, they're quite committed. They're very committed indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And also, let's talk a bit about your experience prior to setting up your restaurant, right? Which is none, right? You only had an MBA.
Yes.
So do you think an MBA actually helped you setting up businesses?
Yes, it does.
How so?
Okay. Actually, MBA, it opens up your mind to see all the elements in business equally significant. If I were to be just an accountancy graduate, you know, I might see the figure very significant. So I don't care about my people anymore. I don't care about my employees anymore. The employees' benefits, employees' feelings, marketing elements, costing, you know, all these things, because MBA is very balanced. You have to be good in your HR. You have to be good in your accountancy. You have to be good in your account. You have to be good in your marketing. You have to be good in other elements. So it helps me to see everything as balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And also for you that you've run this business, what's the most important element? Is it your cash flow? Is it your margin? Your, you know, cost margin?
Cost margin.
How do you look around this? How do you control it? Is it the ingredients? Is it your labor cost? How do you play around with this?
When I look at the margin thing, the most important thing is your COG. And your SP, your selling price. There's two most important things. You know, if you don't get margin, don't do it. I can't finish a product. Say, okay, well, it looks like I can sell 100 ringgit. What if my cost is 90?
Right.
Even my cost is 50, it's not good enough.
Okay.
You know, that is what MBA helps me. You know, yeah, I can't be. Sometimes I create a cake. It looks worth 20 ringgit. So I ask my staff, can you work it out for the cost of me? 18. You don't make much. If it's like 9, you don't make much either. You thought you make a lot, you know, things like you do a proper formula, you know, it has got to be a certain margin before you do it.
Okay. Yeah. And what is your formula for margin? Is it 70% margin?
My COG cannot more than 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then how do you deal with wastage? I'm sure that's also at some
wastage is in my cost.
It's in your cost.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It has got to be in there. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then do you also invest into, met quite a few entrepreneurs who, when it comes to their, what do you call it? The POS system where it tells you the wastage and also what people order and everything starts to be automated, right? So you're getting all this data, then you know what to serve your customers. Do you actually look into that or you prefer...
I have got my POS system, but it's not that advanced, but not to that level yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I might change that one day. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's challenges for your, you know, previous experience in the last 15 years.
Challenges.
Yeah, anything you've failed.
Okay, challenges. In terms of
running the business,
internally or externally?
Both.
Internally, say within the organization, it's still people, because it teaches me you have to treat your staff well. You know, you have to retain them, you know, because if you got high turnover, it's, well, hectic. You don't want to have high turnover. The most significant thing is that if you can capture them to work within the organization, not have a high turnover, that'd be a helpful thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge, which I think I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah, I think from what you've shared is that it's the sense of the family and also the rewards is there to retain them.
Yes.
Okay. And any challenges externally?
Externally, the challenge is still human being, which is the customers.
Isn't it difficult to getting them into your restaurant, your outlets?
Getting them in, because I've told you before, but Cafe Cafe is more like organic thing. The challenge is like, you know, because the people are very knowledgeable now, you know, the customer, they know things about the dwell travel, they are exposed, they know if you serve them lousy thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't anymore. The challenge is you get customer who give you invalid complaint. The customer who raise complaint that, you know, you can't deal with. That's a great challenge.
Okay.
That's a difficult thing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you,
if you get a customer who raise a valid complaint, I'll say, tell, this is not good, you can do this and that, you know, I think that's a very constructive, and that you can learn something from him.
Mm-hmm.
And something that...
just... okay.
You know what I mean? The funny one, you know, is you can't have that as a challenge.
Okay, is that on, like, have you found a way to deal with it yet? No.
No, I can't. Honestly, I can't. Yeah, I can't answer certain things. Because somebody who bring the orange and tell you it's an apple, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a communication problem, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what's your next step, you know, any more plans to open up, more restaurants, more outlets?
Next step, you know, if I can, you know, I can develop that Dugak song. I cannot duplicate Cafe Cafe. It's really difficult to duplicate one.
Why so?
Okay, because Cafe Cafe, the setup is very timeless. It's very classic. It is not possible to duplicate if you were to see the place. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, we've read a lot of review that the interior of the restaurant is quite dark and lavish.
I wouldn't say lavish. I would say that it's understated elegance. The things like, because when I first started Cafe Cafe, I imported. I bought all the vintage furniture from Europe. I actually shipped about 40 footers container back. So actually, everything looks like maybe Casa Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
Then now, you want me to do another new one in shopping mall because everybody wants to go into the shopping mall. Things I can't set this thing up in a new fancy area because it doesn't look the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is it easier for Les Deux Garçons?
Because Les Deux Garçons, the setup is modern. You can duplicate. You know, I can duplicate the look of Les Deux Garçons. I can duplicate the menu, you know, because I've got central kitchen. You know, everything can be looking alike for all the outlets. For Cafe Cafe, it's a bit tough.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so the focus now is expanding Les Deux
Garçons. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you want to share with our listeners or the other entrepreneurs?
No.
No? Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking to Pascal Young. He's the founder of Cafe. And also Les Deux Garçons. Do check his cuisine out. Thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.